deserves every chance to do so. What is it? You have news? I can tell. I heard the noise of the swamp wag a half hour back.
Mephisto took a few more careful steps. His eyes had adjusted, and he could make out the calipers leaning against the side of the long bed. Tremont's bare feet protruded beyond the bottom of the blankets. The air conditioning in the room whirred and hissed, keeping the awful damp heat at bay.
He brought a bird from a veal.
Where?
Moudon.
Our hunched friend Pekka, as they call him. Master Botchko, as he is truly named. How many?
There were seven, and now six.
The black man on the bayou?
The same. I've arranged a payment of food, but they killed a dozen of them all vivant and ran.
To Moudon, Mephisto?
Four men and two women is the message.
And they are still there?
Oui.
For a moment, Tremont managed to stand without the aid of his exoskeleton, flailing his great arms in a fit of anger.
The question is, where did they come from? Who are they? What do they want? Are they to be allies for the Snowhead Bastard and his wolf pack? Questions, questions, Mephisto. And no answers.
The effort was too much for the Baron, and he crumpled backward onto the bed.
Questions. Would they join the renegades? But if they are strangers in Moudon, at Mardi, I guess maybe there's nothing for us to worry about.
Should I send men to the Ville? Better to be safe than sorry, Lord?
When they are sorry, then we shall be safe, mon cher Mephisto.
Could they be blasters from the Deathlands? Hired guns?
Generosity. That was my era. I left them a little more than usual last year, and how did they repay me? By buying guns? Surely they would not dare, Mephisto, would they?
The people love you, Lord. Only the Snowhead and his running curs would dare. The rest are in mortal fear of you.
If the saints in their wisdom had not wished them to be bled, then they would not have been created as hogs. You did well to wake me, Mephisto. If the strangers have arrived, the one seen by the blind witch, then we should walk light. Take a dozen men and two swamp wags and go hunting.
How should we take them, Lord?
Alive, if you can. Especially the women. Oh, yes, Mephisto. I would have the women brought to me alive.
The sec boss backed out of the bedroom, nodding his eager agreement. When he closed the door, he leaned against it for a moment and took several long, slow breaths, finally recovering his composure. Only then did he go call for his men to go hunt in the Ville in the swamp. Ryan made love to Christy as quietly as he could. Wrapped in a blanket, J.B. Dix was sleeping in the far corner of their hut, away from the door and window. His hat was by his side, and his Steyr AUG 5.6mm pistol was tight in his fist. Doc and Lori lay side by side against a wall, the old man breathing gently through his open mouth. Finn wasn't there. Toward the end of the night's revelry, the mother of the girl that Finn had been dancing with had come along and whisked her away, chattering accusingly in Creole French at the plump blaster. But all hadn't been lost for Finnegan. The giantess who'd snatched JB had tired of his lack of enthusiasm and had sidled up to Finn. Nobody knew what she'd whispered, but it was the first time that the armorer could recall seeing Finnegan actually blush. As the dance had ended, and Tijon had come to see them all through the small ville back to their own quarters, Finn and the woman had disappeared. The Cajun had laughed at it, saying that Marie had found a man worthy of her. Back in the sultry, humid darkness of their hut, Christy had reached for Ryan. Her long fingers spidered over his muscular chest and across the flat wall of his stomach, then down lower, finding him springing to a hard erection. He turned his head, raising himself on one elbow to kiss her. It was a long, lingering kiss, their tongues thrusting against each other. Ryan's hand touched her thighs, her long legs opened to him so that he could reach the moist warmth of her body.
Oh, yes, love. Oh, yes.
The tender bud of flesh hardened as her passion rose. She kissed him all over his face and neck, nipping with her sharp teeth, drawing a bead of crimson, salty blood from his lips. He bent his head to nuzzle her breasts, the nipples swelling at the touch of his tongue. Unable to control his fiery lust, Ryan had rolled on top of her, his hips rising and falling, letting her reach and guide him into her. He climaxed moments before the girl, her nails raking at his bare shoulders, clutching him deep within her. Christy pressed her lips against Ryan's chest to quiet herself, fighting not to waken the others in the hut.
By Gaia, but I love you with all of my heart, Ryan Cotter.
I love you, Christy. The words still wouldn't come easily to his lips, which for so long had been used to a cold tightness when he rode with the traitor. Love and tenderness hadn't played much part in Ryan's life for far too long.
You don't have to say it, lover. I can feel you feel it. That's enough for me. One day it'll be easy and natural. Trust me, lover.
I do, Christy. Around 3 he awoke, pressed against her back, cuddling like 2 spoons, snug in a box. The contact was enough to rouse him again. For the second time, she mounted him, sitting above him, grinning triumphantly down into his face. Her hair seemed to billow about her face and shoulders, even though there was no wind in the hut. With all the dozens and dozens of women that Ryan Cotter had taken to bed, none had been like Christy. She had the most amazing control over all her muscles, so that he felt sucked and gripped into a cave of sexual heat that squeezed at him, milking him for her pleasure. After the second time, they both rose naked and walked to the window of the hut, peering out through the slats across the trampled earth of the square toward the sullen, rippling surface of the river. They stood together, savoring the faint breeze that came sidling in through the blind. She shivered, and he put his arm about her waist, pulling her close to him. Cold?
No, it's not that. I think I hear engines.
Swamp wags?
I don't know. They're far off, almost beyond my hearing. I don't know if I really hear them or whether I'm imagining them.
Are you a woman dreaming you're an eagle, or an eagle dreaming that you're a woman?
Don't be so fucking runic, lover. Next, you're going to be asking me to describe the sound of one hand clapping.
No, I'm serious. Look, they're in the shadows, to the far right. If they hadn't been standing so close to the window, they never would have seen the movement. It was a man, bent low, scurrying across the gap between 2 of the wooden huts. He was followed by another, and then a third. As the last one darted across, Ryan caught the flicker of silver moonlight glinting off steel.
He's got a blade.
I knew that Tijon was a swift and evil bastard.
It might not... No, that's stupid. Of course it means trouble.
Plus the engines you hear.
Yeah.
A couple of hours to dawn. What can... This Mardi festival. I heard of things like this. Some backwardvilles where they pick a boy and let him do what he wants, eat and drink what he wants, fuck anyone he wants, for one special day each year. Then they slit his throat for the promise of a good crop. I wonder if...
Let's get moving.
Christy left his side, padding to her clothes. She dressed with an elegant haste, tugging on her boots. He joined her, pulling up his trousers, then fastened the buckle on his belt and checked his guns. Moving silently to the door and inching it open, he peered around the edge of the warped frame. He saw nobody out there. Yet his 6th fighting sense told him that the whole of Mudong was bristling around them.
I'll wake the others?
Yeah. I'll wake Doc. JB came instantly to full awareness, the gun probing out into the darkness, his eyes open.
What? Trouble?
Men on the move.